And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon, and let's have an encore. Good afternoon. It's a beautiful early fall day outside. Adam Lepp here hosting the Now Without Scott Spears program because Scott is not here. But that's okay. We'll have fun anyway. Interesting conversation, news updates, quirky news, and like anything else here on WGH Radio, always a surprise or two. Phone lines are open. Hey, give me a call. Love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. That's the telephone number. We can talk about anything that you wish. Politics, religion, sports, tributes to the great Tom Petty, other musicians that we've lost recently. Pick a topic. I'd love to hear from you. Going to go ahead and patch in a gentleman who is on with me frequently, but he has been out for the last few weeks due to the fact that his very gracious boss gave him a vacation, or as they say over there in the UK, holiday. I don't get a vacation. I just work 24 hours a day, but that's okay. It keeps me out of trouble. So let's go to the other side of the world where it's 20 minutes after 5 instead of 20 minutes after 12 and speak to Nick CJ live from Brecon in Eastern Wales. Let's see if the equipment has been hooked up properly. Nick, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Am I coming over loud and clear?
Yes, you are sounding superb, and we love that accent. It's real. It's genuine and quite cool, if I should say so myself.
Well, it's just the one I was born with.
Nick,
yes, I've been in Spain, courtesy of my boss, who is me. So really, you could take a holiday, Adam. All you've got to do is just give yourself the time off.
Yeah, but I think I'm a little tougher on myself than I am on other people, which is, I guess, kind of the way that it is. I've always kind of been that way. But, you know, when I work, it kind of keeps me out of trouble, and maybe that's sort of a good thing.
Plus, I have Adam the computer guy as my backup when I go on holiday, so I know that everything's in good hands, so I didn't have to worry.
You can hear the music there in the background, Nick.
They say it takes time.
No, nothing here. Expert at
one thing. Was playing Never Been to Spain by Three Dog Night, one of my favorite bands. They still perform. Some of the remaining members still perform. We lost Corey Wells, one of their most prominent vocalists recently, but Never Been to Spain, one of their most famous songs, although Shambhala is one of my favorite. That's, I think, one of the best songs ever, and I also like to perform that during karaoke from time to time. So you have been to Spain, Nick. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. First, I want to touch up on the unfortunate fact that the last couple years has been very tragic to people like you and I who are big fans of classic rock, and one of your favorites, David Bowie, we lost him recently. And yesterday, one of our fellow Americans, Tom Petty, although he has performed with many of your countrymen in England, Jeff Lynne and George Harrison, as part of the Traveling Wilburys, but we lost Tom Petty yesterday, only 66 and a half years old. Any thoughts on that, Nick? Do you agree with me that his guitar playing, his songwriting was one of a kind and influences people to this day?
Yeah. He wasn't as big, really, here as some of the others. But he was well known, very well known. And, I mean, what a tragic age to die at, 66. Being 63, it brings home to you how tenuous the link is between this side and the next. I was just looking up the amount of people that were influenced and helped by him. Apparently, Sam Smith, I don't know if you know him, big.
He is very big among young people here in the United States, very much so.
Oh, he's got over there Kings of Leon. Apparently it's the first album they ever bought. The Strokes, I was just looking through a list, Mark Ronson reckons he was highly influenced by Tom Petty. So they're calling him culturally important.
I would agree.
I think he was a musician's musician as well, as were all of the Traveling Wilburys, of course. They were all musicians' musicians, weren't they?
Right. Talk about supergroups. I mean, there were many supergroups during my college days, and again, the years following that, Great White, Damn Yankees, Asia played their first concert at my college. They had some art rock type members who collaborated, but the Traveling Wilburys, how could you get a better combination than Roy Orbison, George Harrison, Jeff Lynne from ELO, one of the most talented guys out there. I mean, just amazing what he did. And of course, Tom Petty. The quality, just amazing. I think the entire musical genius in one room of those guys recording together would be more than everybody else that you might see at a concert. Pretty incredible.
Oh, definitely.
Unexpected. I mean, 66, that's not much older than I am. And it's just very, very sad. He had just finished a tour. He was in Columbus, 45 minutes from here, earlier this year, at one of the biggest concerts of 2017. And I guess he talked about maybe this being one of his last tours, but the music legacy lives on, and his unique style, hard to duplicate. Also, Bob Seger, he had to cancel his concert a few days ago in Columbus. At the last minute, he had, an issue with one of his vertebra in his near his neck. Someone else with very unique musical talent. Are you a Seger fan, Nick?
No, not at all. And Glen Campbell. I'm a bit older than you, and Glen Campbell, of course, passed recently, and that was quite a shock.
Right, unique bluegrass country light rock singer, who also, I think, has had an effect, even on bands like the Eagles, with that California-type sound where country and light rock are kind of mixed together. Glen Campbell, along with John Denver, Dan Fogelberg, someone else we lost at a young age, I think have influenced it. But Bob Seger, someone with unique musical ability and unique sound, currently nursing an issue with his upper back, his neck. Hopefully he'll be back in action very soon, as it's been kind of a touchy year for anybody like you and I, Nick, who are fans of the great genre of music we call classic rock. Are you still, I guess you're still a bit upset about David Bowie. I know he was one of your favorites and someone else with a very unique style. We lost him also, I think, at a rather young age, and also rather surprisingly.
Yeah, and that was somebody that I went to see when I was 18, probably first time round, and you know, just saw him several times, about five times in total. All of the big tours, and just, yeah, somebody I sort of followed, I suppose, and was a fan from childhood. So, yeah, very, very odd. It's a little bit like having a big brother when you've got somebody like that, that you follow their music all the time and follow what happens to them. And, yeah, it's quite a loss. Very weird.
I think along with a very tragic event in Las Vegas, the last couple days has not been good for the music world, and doesn't really coming at a good time for the country in general. Let's hope that things can improve. We like to talk about news, and news isn't always good, but it's been rather rough the last couple days. Nick, is the Las Vegas incident getting a lot of press there in the United Kingdom?
An amazing amount of press, and obviously, you know, my sympathy to anybody local has lost anybody, but a tremendous amount of cover. Obviously, it's such a big event. I mean, not event, a big tragedy. And who can account for these nutcases, basically? I mean, the first thing you think is terrorist, and it popped up straight away. Oh, it must have been a terror attack. And then you find out that it's some lone gunman who's obviously completely bonkers. And when you look at the weapons that the man stored, I mean, I saw a list of them today on the internet, and it was horrendous. I mean, he had his own private arsenal. In the UK, of course, you're not allowed to have any firearms. The only people who have firearms are the police, and they only have had them in the last few years. It used to just be a truncheon, basically, and a stab-proof vest. They have moved up now to firearms and bulletproof vests, but Joe Public is allowed. If you're a farmer, you can have a shotgun as long as you have various tests and checks that you're of sound mind. But a firearm, probably a 22 caliber rifle or something if you were in a rifle club, but you'd have to be tested and vetted and have to have a locked gun cabinet and have random inspections. Nobody has a permit to hold or any of that stuff that you have in the States. So, and definitely no automatic weapons.
The gun laws, Nick, are very different in the UK than they are in the United States. In the state of Nevada, the gun laws are very loose, and they're a little stricter here in Ohio, but I think we need to tighten them. Now, you live out in the country where, as you said, there are more sheep than humans. Are you allowed to have a hunting rifle in case you wanted to eat mutton or another animal that does take up residence in your area? What would happen if you wanted to purchase a firearm for the purpose of hunting, for example?
I couldn't. Full stop. I just couldn't. I could, if I could justify it that I wanted to go clay pigeon shooting, I could possibly get a shotgun certificate, which I used to have. But gave up because of the amount of legislation and things. It used to cost £100 or so a year to have it, and I had to be vetted and had to have a locked cabinet in the house, which was checked by the police that it was locked in. The basic thing is I couldn't. I could have an air rifle that would be as strong as I could own. I own a very strong compound bow, but that's a different thing altogether. You can own a bow and arrow, or you can own a crossbow here.
So you can't very different firearms. Laws about weapons there. And one extreme, it's kind of hard to imagine that you can't even buy a rifle for hunting deer. That's very big here in this part of the country. Some school districts, they give kids a week off during deer hunting season, and totally different over there. So
yeah, 100% different.
If are you able to hunt it with a bow and arrow? Or what is hunting legal? Can you go to your? Because again, you're in a rural area. Could you go hunt a sheep or a deer or a cow and then have it for dinner? What would be the course of action if you wanted to do that?
No, nearly every animal in the UK is protected. So unless you're a farmer and farming something, you can't just go shooting things because the sounds odd, but the animals have rights as well. So it's you're not allowed to just shoot a deer, for instance, with a bow and arrow. It would be classed as an act of cruelty, and you'd probably be arrested and locked up for it.
So completely different. It's hard to imagine. I mean, as big as hunting is here, it's. Do you think the laws are too strict, Nick? Do we need a compromise, or is it good kind of the way that it is there?
As somebody who used to like to shoot, and I've always had, air guns, and I have a bow now, and I used to have a crossbow, and I was one of those children that liked to shoot things. As one of those, as a younger person, I used to think, oh gosh, it's all too strong. But now I'm of the opinion that and seeing what's going on there, I'd rather it is the way it is, and the only people who have the guns are the police. If everybody has exactly the same armament, stroke, defense, stroke, anything, you have no defense, do you? So it's a little bit like North Korea and their nuclear bomb now. It's suddenly everybody is threatened by somebody else, and it's easier if nobody has anything, really, apart from the people who are policing it.
So you're of the opinion that Americans should learn something from the British, and that we have too many weapons, and maybe we need to still allow hunting, not quite as strict as it is there, but in terms of having assault rifles and weapons that are not used for a legitimate purpose, like hunting, we need to take a second look at the laws. And I would tend to agree. I'm going to say just a goofy chemistry major, but we need to make some changes. I don't know what they are right away, but obviously the system is broken.
It's difficult because you were a frontier country where you know the rule of the gun was, you know, the way it was. And if you've watched any old cowboy movies, you realize that, you know, that's the way it grew up. And how do you reverse that? We started the other way around, so you know, we don't have to reverse it, we just have to hopefully not go there. Sorry, over to you.
No, it's okay. Just speaking with Nick CJ live from Brecon in Eastern Wales on the Now Without Scott Spears program with me, Adam Lepp, your guest host. Host with the most. We are taking your telephone calls. You can speak to me and Nick. We can talk about hunting and weapon laws, which are very different in the UK than they are here in the States. 740-383-9944. Your telephone call would be more than appreciated. Current time in the studio, 33 minutes after 12. Nick, you recently, as I said, took a vacation to Spain. Beautiful country with a lot of beautiful women, I must say, and some very, very good food. What was your biggest impression of your trip to Spain?
Well, they've got a mosquito plague at the moment, so I was bitten to death. So I wasn't very happy this year. I do go every year and have been for the last 30 odd years, and the family have a place out there, so. It's just a case of rocking up and opening your case and everything's there. But they've got a bit of a mosquito plague, and so I got bitten to death. So I did at some point, several points, wished I'd stayed at home, to be honest. The best bit of going this year was that we've had all of our mobile laws relaxed in Europe. So whereas I used to have to go and buy a Spanish SIM and a Spanish MiFi unit to look at the business and check things, I could put the credit on my ordinary phone and it was just billed as if I was in the UK. So that was a lot better.
If you heard the Adam the Computer Guy show earlier, Nick, I discussed a Samsung smartphone, which is very smart. It's only being marketed in India, which has a big mosquito problem and malaria problem. It actually repels mosquitoes. Did you hear about that at all? Do you think that might be a good idea?
No.
In places that have a mosquito problem, have your smartphone also be a mosquito repellent?
So I presume it's got a little electronic buzzer in it, has it?
Yeah, I think it has to do with infrared or some kind of waves that naturally repel mosquitoes. And it's controversial as to whether or not it works, but it certainly is a good idea. And again, with India having a big mosquito and malaria problem, that's where the marketing is starting. But it might find itself marketed in other places.
My wife and I have little things that use a battery that you plug, that you carry around with you. But they didn't work this year. So,
speaking of Spain, Nick, in the quirky news department, not sure if you saw this or not, the man behind an intelligent sex robot named Samantha says that the kinky creation needs to be repaired thanks to, quote, barbarians at a technology industry festival. Engineer Sergi Santos of Barcelona, Spain, wanted to show off Samantha at the Arts Electronica Festival in Linz, Austria, a couple weeks ago. The robot is programmed with artificial intelligence so that she responds to gentle seduction. However, Samantha seemingly gets more aroused the more she's, quote, romanced. It didn't happen at the festival. Instead, Samantha was molested and seriously damaged by attendees. He said the people mounted Samantha's, female organs that are above the waist, her legs and her arms. Two fingers were broken. She was heavily soiled, according to Britain's Metro news site. People can be bad, he said, because they did not understand the technology and did not have to pay for it. They treated the doll like barbarians. Any thoughts about that? Should people be a little more careful, more polite when looking at something like that, which is designed more as a curiosity than a plaything? Any thoughts on that at all?
Well, it's always difficult when you're at a show, isn't it? Because everything gets, you know, abused when you're trying to show things at a show. I remember trying to show software once at a show like that, and everybody was trying to steal your pens, and you know, you had to have bowls of sweets out just to keep people placated. So not the best place. I did hear about a brothel in north of England that bought one of these, and within a week they bought another one because it was more popular than the regular, what do we call them, workers. So apparently it's going to catch on.
The engineer, again, behind Samantha the Robot, Sergi Santos of Barcelona, Spain, and he said, "I think people have just become overexcited and treated her like a sex doll. She's not a sex doll. She is a robot with artificial intelligence." The Daily Star reports that the creator has sold 15 versions at about $4,000 a piece. So glad to see that he's getting some money for his creation and that people are acting like adults. My mama always said, Nick, the only difference between men and boys is the size of their toys. And I think this pretty much would sum that up.
Most definitely. Yes. Yeah, and the quantity of toys and the fact that you can buy your own toys when you're grown up.
Yes, and the price. The price, certainly.
Yeah.
Adam Lepp here, live in the studio on East Center Street in Marion, guest hosting now without Scott Spears. Scott is not here. I'm here instead. On the line with me is Nick CJ from the UK, having just returned from a vacation. They call it a holiday there. On holiday in Spain. And as Three Dog Night said, I've never been to Spain, but it sounds like a pretty fun place. Love the food. Nick, did you have any interesting tapas and other types of Spanish food while you were there?
Trying to think if we had anything special. No, they're very big on steaks, and it's become very American because of the amount of people that visit. So, you know, steak is big, meat is very big. As somebody who was a vegetarian, I don't find quite so much fun in that. The big thing that's changed the most, actually, not on the food front, is the fact that because they speak Spanish, obviously, in Spain, and Mexico speaks Spanish, I used to find that a lot of IT stuff that was sort of being beta tested in a way used to be marketed in Spain. So I used to go on holiday and often find laptops which hadn't been marketed in the UK being marketed there because they were obviously made for the Spanish market. So that they could test them out in Mexico, etc. And a lot of Microsoft products I used to be able to get in advance, and that's all gone now. I can get everything just as fast here as I could there.
Nick, we're both computer people, IT generalists, those with multiple talents, repairing hardware and software, writing programs, hosting websites, and hosting email on our, of course, private email server. And anything and everything related to tech. We're going to talk a little tech now. Let's start with an unfortunate story. Nick, I just actually found this out a few minutes ago. It was one of our breaking news stories. Paul Otellini, who is a former CEO of Intel, has passed away at the age of 67. He was named CEO of Intel, the world's largest chip maker, in May of 2005, and remained as CEO until he retired 4 years ago. Taking a look at a number of CEOs at Intel, let's compare this to the number of U.S. presidents or people in charge of other tech companies. In 49 years of being in business, kind of hard to believe, Intel has been around since 1968. They've only had six chief executives, and Paul Otellini, who passed away earlier today at 67, was the fifth. He worked at Intel for 40 years and was the first non-engineer to run the company. So a tragic story. Would you agree, Nick? Certainly a big name in technology and Intel, one of your big players in the computer world.
Yeah, I remember, because wasn't it Intel that developed DOS originally, and then Bill Gates got a license from them in order to produce his Microsoft product. So in fact, because he didn't even invent what he sold, and the whole of Microsoft is based on something that was leased in essence, and somebody at Intel, if I remember correctly, screwed up the contract a bit and didn't put you can't duplicate this as many times as you want, and that's where it started. So, but they're very sad news, especially being as he's 67 and Tom Petty 66 and I'm 63. You keep saying these low numbers. Right. Can we find somebody that's passed away in their 90s, please, for the next next bit?
I'll see what I can do. Right. Actually, Monty Hall, the game show host and co-creator of Let's Make a Deal, passed away at 96 over the weekend. He was on with Scott Spears as a celebrity interviewee earlier this year. Have you watched the game show Let's Make a Deal, Nick? Is that big there in the United Kingdom?
I haven't, but I have seen Monty Hall on outtakes and things. And what a good innings, eh?
Yeah, and again, he was 96, yep. So again, a loss of a TV legend, and again, he had a really nice interview with Scott earlier this year. So very sad, but definitely a full life that the gentleman led. Speaking about the late Paul Otellini, again, the fifth of six Intel CEOs who just passed away earlier today, he announced his retirement at age 62. Intel has a mandatory retirement age of 65. Nick, when he retired, it was during a time, as you probably remember, as I do, Intel struggled in the mobile chip realm. They lost billions of dollars trying to compete with Qualcomm. Now, Paul Otellini was succeeded by Brian Krzanich, the current CEO of Intel. Intel, as you know, is the chip maker of Pentium and Celeron and Xeon, all those big chips in personal computers and servers, but they're a little behind in mobile hardware. The Galaxy Note S8, and of course the $999 iPhone X do not run on Intel chips. Now, during Paul Otellini's tenure, Intel's revenue rose from $39 billion to $54 billion. So we've lost, at a rather young age, only 67, technology guru, brilliant man, Paul Otellini. RIP, Paul, very sad, and he did a lot to improve Intel's position in the chip world. Do you think Intel can rebound, Nick, and become a big player in mobile chips, or have they pretty much lost the boat to Qualcomm and some other companies?
Yeah, the big thing over here, a lot ARM chips, ARM, and we tend to, I think quite a lot of stuff has got ARM chips in it. I think it's difficult because I think it's a different market, to be honest. I think that they used to stick the Intel Atom in everything, didn't they? Stuck it in laptops and tablets, etc. But I think that it's a specialized market. I think micro chips to go into phones, and I think that those that are good at it should stick to it, and Intel should stick at what they're good at.
Right. So just because mobile chips are popular and will gain popularity doesn't mean that Intel is playing second fiddle. They're the leader in desktop computing chips and servers that run the millions and billions of web servers, including the web server that the station's website runs on, and they certainly do a very good job at that. We remember Cyrix. They made some lower-end chips. They're gone. Of course, AMD is a big player, and they make a lot of video cards also, but Intel is the king. I'm sitting here in the studio looking at our main broadcasting computer where it says Intel Core 2 V Pro. So Intel will certainly be a player for a long time, and I think Paul Otellini, we lost again earlier today at the age of 67, had a lot to do with that. Speaking of web servers, Nick, since you've returned from Spain, I've been keeping you busy, helping me to do some migration and updates on one of my major client websites. And this website is a lot to do with the great city of Marion that we're in. It's the website for the union that represents all the people in Marion that work at Kroger, CVS, Rite Aid, and Meijer. That's hundreds of people that are members of the union. And I'm actually the webmaster, and I've been so for 6.5 years. And one of my biggest clients, one of my most proud accomplishments. Nick, we've been working on migrating the site from one type of what's called content management system to WordPress, which is the content management system that pretty much, I wouldn't say every website runs on, but majority of sites do. Any thoughts you had, Nick, of taking the website that I first did with my company back 6.5 years ago and migrating it over to WordPress? Any kind of thoughts that have been rumbling since we started this project?
Well, first thing I thought was, blimey, that Adam, he's such a taskmaster because I barely got off the plane and he wants me to do it. But I got straight down to it and we've got the website more or less built, the outline's there. It's quite a bit of work still migrating, and the funny thing is that so many things have gone in the past. We've built sites in Joomla, we've built sites in CMS, and of course all the HTML sites, and they all change, they all migrate, they all update. It's like all software now, it changes like Moore's Law and hardware very, very quickly. But it's looking good. It's going to have a lot more features in the future, I hope, for the union and things. There's a great database going in there that you've built. So I think they're going to be very pleased with the new look, and it's got a long way to go.
So to my listeners, if you work at Kroger, Meijer, Rite Aid, and CVS, that's hundreds of people in and around Marion. Please do go to the website, ufcw1059.com. Yours truly has been the webmaster and host since the spring of 2011, and Nick and I are working to make the site even better. And just thought I would give that little tidbit, not really a plug for the business per se, but some interesting information to let you know that we computer people do care about the community and want to make websites a way to communicate with members, learn about organizations, and make your life and your job and your wallet much, much more attractive. Anything else going on there in your neck of the woods, Nick? Maybe things that have happened since you returned from your vacation?
Well, no, the big shock is that shooting that you've had and the fact that it's not terrorist-based. It is actually just a lunatic with a huge arsenal of guns. And I think that shocked us. Oh, we've had a piece of news in the UK you probably wouldn't have heard of there. We have two very large low-cost airlines. One is called Ryanair, who do fly into the States, run by a very mad Irishman who likes to charge people for everything. So he will give you a £9.99 flight, but if he could, he'd charge you to go to the toilet on the plane. He charges you for every sort of ounce extra you have in your bag and things like that. He decided that he'd forgotten to give his pilots their holiday leave that they wanted. So he cancelled 100,000 flights for people, which caused major trauma because people are away on holiday, etc. And, of course, they have various legislations in place that mean that people can be compensated and put on another plane. But he forgot to tell people this. So that was quite horrendous. And then we've got another large carrier called Monarch, who have just completely folded. They folded yesterday, and they've left, I think it was 150,000 people without their holidays, and I think about 15,000 people who are abroad who are trying to be flown home now. So quite horrendous, the thought that you could book a flight, go off on holiday. We were so lucky that we got back, but I mean, my business would have been affected and everything if I'd gone with Monarch rather than Ryanair.
So some unfortunate rumblings in the airline industry, and we've had that here. Airlines that were popular during my childhood, Eastern, Braniff, TWA, no longer exist. And sometimes these airlines are like factories that close or your favorite department store. They close all of a sudden. You didn't even know it was coming. You open up the paper and suddenly they're out of business, or they've consolidated, or they've packed up and left town. So not really a very good thing to hear about, but thankfully you got back okay. And as I said, yes, we've kept you busy with some projects Nick, you do a lot of websites for the B&Bs that are in your area, as well as companies and locations that are good for traveling and for vacations. Tell us about maybe a couple of the websites you've done recently, some of your favorite B&B or vacation attraction sites, and how are the clients to work with? How much do you think that a good website like one that you produced has improved their business?
Oh, a lot. I mean, I sometimes go to customers to repair websites, you know, and they'll say, I'm thinking of getting a website, and I'll explain what it'll do and how it'll do it. And they just don't realize, they've been trying to advertise their business through the local tourist information, etc. So it does help them a lot. I've just done one which has doubled her turnover, so she's very happy. I'm just about to do a nice one for a church, and not a very active church in the church sense of the word, but they do a lot of concerts. It's a church that has beautiful acoustics, and they have some top classical performers come there. So I'm just in the process of trying to set that up so that they can sell tickets, etc., for these performers that come and do cello concerts and things like that. So we're quite diverse, my base. And then, of course, I do American Union websites with you. So and burgers and meat packers and all sorts of things.
Is there a favorite type of website for you to do? Do you kind of like the projects that you and I work on together, being a little different with being a different country? Or are you just kind of faithful to your B&Bs and other types of clients that you get there in Wales?
Oh, no, I do like the American ones. I think the best one was that Jewish school that we did, because I had to try and find the fonts in the Hebrew fonts for various things. With most websites now, rather than trying to produce a graphic, which of course Mr. Google can't read a graphic, he can read words, typed words, but he can't read a graphic. So it's very good if you can incorporate the actual font and wordage into a website, which of course WordPress is very good at. If you put a picture in there, it has the words in the background as an alt command, and it also has them written in there as well in the script. And so very good for access. And it's just a different world now to what it used to be. But I do love the American websites.
So I guess the bottom line, Nick, would be we enjoy the diversity of the sites I help you out with in the UK, site you help me out with in the United States, and kind of some collaborations that we do. Interesting to see that although culture is different, and we talked about firearms, laws are certainly different, government is different, the whole idea of computer techs, IT generalists, developers, programmers like you and I, the end result, the end goal is really the same. Make the client happy. Client makes money off the website. The members and customers and employees, their lives are enhanced, and we work toward a common goal. That would pretty much sum it up.
Yeah, I mean we are the new publishers, really. It's it is the way that everything is going. Everything will be web based. So we've entered the publishing section. The other thing I've been doing quite a bit of is publishing Amazon books for customers, ones that can't do it themselves. So I've got friends who are authors and things, and I've been doing a few of those, and I've just got a couple of new ones, I think, that I picked up when I was in Spain. One of them's about Brexit. So somebody's an exporter, and they've written a book about Brexit, and I said to him, he was working out how to get it published, and he'd already had a book published. And I said, well, by the time you get this published and you get, you know, X amount of copies printed and then circulated and then the publicity, Brexit will be over and done with. So really, you should publish this electronically. So I think that's the way he's going with that, because if you publish it electronically, it's like the web. It's up then next week. So much better way to do things.
So regardless of where you're located, what kind of a client you have, or even how you do the programming, the end result, the end goal as an IT person, doesn't really change very much. And in 2017, we often use websites, blogs, Facebook, social media in general as a way to communicate. And it's tech people like us that are kind of relied upon to make that communication as smooth and seamless as possible. Adam Lepp here, guest hosting Now with Scott Spears, or Now without Scott Spears, because Scott is not here. He'll be back tomorrow, bright and early, shortly after noon, as a host of the Now program with possibly a celebrity guest. You'll have to wait and see whom that might be. Adam sitting in for the next 2 minutes or so. I'm going to repeat this hour. Next hour, for your listening pleasure, interesting discussion with my brother in broadcasting, business associate Nick CJ from Eastern Wales in the United Kingdom. About 2 minutes left to the show, Nick. Anything else you'd like to share with our audience before we say goodbye?
No, just send our sympathies really from the UK for all of the problems that you're having there with the terror attacks and the mass shootings. And let's hope that something will happen with the gun laws. And I tell you what we haven't discussed today is the Donald.
About 90 seconds left, Nick. Feel free to discuss the Donald. I think we can fit him in.
Right. He's obviously barking mad. That's all I've got to say. The man is completely barking mad. And that's all we see really on the false publicity that he says that we do with the BBC. But yes, completely barking mad, and I don't know how he ever got in.
So he's certainly one of our most unique presidents, as Dr. Feynman and I discussed during my show earlier today, mid-morning coffee break with Adam. But certainly he is helping the news industry. I find myself going to CNN.com and watching the news on TV more than I did a couple of years ago. And, you know, love him or hate him, he certainly is, let's say, entertaining and colorful. Would that pretty much sum it up, Nick? Entertaining and colorful?
I think entertaining and colorful. What else is entertaining and colorful? Oh, yes, clowns. Okay.
Okay, I guess we'll...
Signing off from the UK.
We'll leave it at that. Thank you, Nick, again for being on the show, and I'm glad you made it back safely from Spain. Thanks again for all you do, and we'll talk to you again soon. Adam Lepp here, thanking you for listening. This was the Now Without Scott Spears program, hosted by me, Adam Lepp. Send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP.